We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, week number 8 is shaping up to be potentially the best matchups of the season. Before we break it down, we'll take a look at the updated odds entering the weekend. It's right now Alabama as the top dog. 3 straight victories. They're plus 170 to hoist an SEC conference championship, followed by Texas A&M and Mike Elko, Georgia and Kirby Smart, Ole Miss, and then Texas. Thoughts about those 5 teams entering the weekend? And we still don't know who's going to be in the championship game by week number 14.
And no, and it's funny because you look at every one of these games this weekend and you look at the rest of their schedule. It isn't over. I mean, they've got to play somebody else that's going to knock them out. It's the toughest schedule to say, you know what, we got it locked. We're going to cruise in. I mean, look at Miami. You might say, okay, win this week, and you're going to ride into the Georgia game with that loss. In the SEC, every week, you're playing a team that's better than people think, a Missouri or a Texas A&M, you know, or Ole Miss, not counting Alabama, Texas, and Georgia. It's a great and then Vanderbilt. You can keep on going. If you keep on going all the way to Florida, who can beat anybody, and they're not even possibly keeping their football coach. So, again, should be interesting. Alabama now is sitting on top. But you look at those next 4 teams, they're all bunched in because somebody's going to knock somebody out this week. Georgia, Ole Miss, somebody's going to knock somebody out this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at these conference odds, they then translate to the national championship picture. Sure. Because all of these teams have great value entering week number 8, potentially if it is Ole Miss or it is right. A&M that continue to win. Those odds are just going to get shorter. And even a team like Oklahoma, you lose the Red River rivalry, but you pick up the victory against South Carolina this weekend, you're still going to be involved in the mix. Just thoughts about what team maybe stands out for you. For me right now, Coach, it's still the Georgia Bulldogs at 10-1. I know they've had some close calls, but from physicality perspective, offense and defense lines, and that coach that could get that team motivated, still buying into Kirby Smart.
Yeah, I mean, Kirby, I think that's the difference. I know Lane Kiffin was talking about Kirby Smart a little bit with just gamesmanship, but Kirby Smart is going to be there in the big games. He's going to be there in the tough seasons. He's going to find a way to win, like second half against Auburn, and that's what gives him that leverage. Now, we're going to learn a lot this week against Ole Miss because Ole Miss is having one of those special years where they find a way to win. They find a quarterback that no one thought would be playing for them, and now they go into a place where they're not supposed to win. But it will be. This week will knock Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia and Ole Miss. We're going to get down to some fun stuff this weekend.
We will. And again, we talk about the teams winning, whichever quarterback potentially steps up. Marcel Reed, absolutely. Trinidad Chambliss, Joey Aguilar, Ty Simpson. I mean, the list goes on. That'll translate as well to the Heisman market, because we see Ty Simpson again, another solid performance on the road against Missouri, 200 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's answered the bell now in critical matchups for the Crimson Tide. If he does it yet again, his odds are just going to get shorter in the Heisman market. But, you know, Trinidad Chambliss is an interesting quarterback and prospect in the Heisman market. He goes on the road this weekend as a 7.5-point underdog against Georgia, wins the game outright. All of a sudden, Ole Miss is cooking with house money, and Chambliss could have great value at 25-1.
Great value, because he's got a story. When you got a guy that's got a hook, and what a great hook he has, Division II, Ferris State, Division II player, nobody recruited out of high school, never threw it much in high school, and for him to play like he's played. Now, He's going into an environment, an away game that he has no idea. As a starter, he played a little bit against Kentucky, but he hasn't done what he's going to do. He's going to go play between the edges in a game that's going to be different than anyone he's ever played. So we're going to find out if he's ready to win big in the SEC, because Georgia at home, I know they lost to Alabama, but that's one out of about 23 that they've lost. And it'll be, and they know that if they can get some pressure and some heat on that quarterback, he may buckle under the pressure.
And they got right the game after the loss to Alabama. They did cover as a 20.5-point home favorite over Kentucky. Did cover last week against Auburn. You were there as well. Wasn't easy, but that defense really showed out in the second half of that matchup. We'll break down Ole Miss Georgia a little bit later in the broadcast. Another intriguing topic before the weekend, Coach, is the situation in Gainesville. We saw multiple reports saying that Billy Napier potentially could be out after this game on Saturday afternoon. Thoughts about what that does to the program, what that does to their upcoming game on Saturday, and your thoughts just where the Florida Gators potentially might go to get a new head coach?
Well, again, Florida, again, has got a – they can go about where they want to go. They usually – now, Scott Strickland, their AD, he was with – back when I was at Auburn, he was the assistant AD, a young guy, and he was with my brother. I know Scott Strickland pretty well. He's not wanting to face what he's got to face, but he's got boosters, very influential boosters, that are putting the heat on him. And I guarantee you, when you go sit in a game like I did last Saturday and see all the financial backers – that are invested financially and emotionally into that program. Florida's got a ton of them, and I guarantee it, if it doesn't get better somewhere down the road, they're going to make the move quicker, sooner rather than later. Like Billy Napier, I wish you could find a way, but they may have dug themselves a hole so deep that the AD has to make a move, because you know what happens next? They get rid of the AD. That's the next thing they do if you don't make a bold decision.
Let me ask you this, because we have talked about the James Franklin situation being maybe the first domino and really putting pressure on other marquee programs to make a move. But some of the names being mentioned, and obviously Kirk Cignetti in Indiana, potentially in a Big Ten championship hunt, college football playoff hunt, some of the names that are mentioned, these coaches aren't going to come available till potentially after the college football season, especially if they're in the college football playoff. What does the school do, and how do they benefit by potentially letting Napier go at this point in the season? I understand their scope could be to look for a new head coach, but then you have to worry about kids transferring out and then starting right back at zero.
No, there's not a perfect formula. I just know right now people are getting antsy. Their people want to talk to that coach's people. They want to make sure they're not behind on the negotiation with people that are willing to negotiate behind the scenes. That's why you fired somebody early, so you can get a decision made before recruiting starts or before signing date or before people jump in the portal. But the biggest thing is, if you see that it's not getting any better, I'm to the point right now where the coaches have such a good buyout, then the school just need to go ahead and make a move. If they're going to make a move, go make it. Go get it done, because that coach is it's not like he's ruined his career. And most of the assistant coaches, they have multi-year contracts. So it's not the end of the world for anybody on that staff. It's just start over and the school wants a chance to get on the front end of a good hire.
Coach, you were on the sidelines only a couple of seasons ago, right, for ULM. Right. How has the game changed? Because here you are 2 years later, and we're seeing these situations play out in potentially Florida and obviously Penn State. How far are we from just a couple of seasons ago with NIL and potential buyouts of coaches?
Well, you know, everything constantly changes. I remember when I got back into coaching about 10 years ago or 15, they were into coaching waiting. They would make a coach hire somebody as the coach in waiting. Remember, Jimbo Fisher was the coach in waiting. They would say, okay, coach, we're going to make you hire this guy as your coach in waiting. Now they're going to fire you right off the bat and get into somewhere else, and they're not going to pull around with that coach in waiting, because they found out that doesn't really work either.
We're not going to fool around. When Coach and I come back, we're going to be breaking down those top 25 battles in the ACC, SEC, excuse me, Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU, Vandy coming up next. We'll break it all down for you, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden, right here on the Bowden Blitz. Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden taking a look now at the week eight matchups in the SEC. We'll turn our attention to the 3:30 kick in Athens. No bigger game. Undefeated Ole Miss goes on the road. They're 7-point underdogs against Georgia. Georgia got their 33-game home winning streak snapped a couple of weeks ago by Alabama. They did get right in back-to-back wins over Kentucky and Auburn. They now come back home. The last two wins, Coach, over the Rebels and Athens have been by an average margin of victory of 31 points per game. We saw Ole Miss struggle last week as a 31.5-point favorite against Washington State. How do you see this game playing out Saturday afternoon?
Well, man, let's go back. That Washington State was a trap game, and they overcame it. They knew they knew they had Georgia, and that's part of football. At least they won their trap game. And now they've got to go to Georgia. And that's the big issue right now is can that football team and can that quarterback handle the atmosphere that is playing between the hedges in Athens, Georgia? That's going to be against a very, very good football team. And that's going to be the question that has to be answered. And that's the one I think you won't be ready for. I don't think anything can prepare that young quarterback for that atmosphere that he's going to get into. It's a very good football team, and they're going to try to put some heat on him. And so we'll see where that goes. But I really think Georgia at home, the way they've been playing. And let me say this. I don't think Georgia's going to lose two at home in 1 year. They've already lost that one game. I can't see them losing another one at home a week and a half or 2 weeks after they lost the last game at home. So, me, this is going to be a tough environment. The biggest thing they've got is the environment, and how will that affect a quarterback that really has never stepped into that type of a scenery and that type of arena. I think it's going to be a tough one to overcome.
It's interesting because I think the matchup for me is we talked about last year, and you were on the game on the sidelines against Georgia and Ole Miss. You were in Oxford, right, and thought that Ole Miss was the superior football team on both interior lines, especially on the defensive front seven. They had one of the best rush defenses, right, in the conference and in all of FBS last year, only allowing 80 rushing yards per game. Fast forward to this year, they're giving up 157 on the ground, and that's the strength of Georgia still entering, right, this matchup, rushing for 185 yards on the ground. So do you feel like Ole Miss, they shut down Tulane, they shut down LSU in the rushing attack? Can they have that type of effort on the road? If so, they potentially could be in margin in this ballgame.
Yeah, LSU doesn't have the running attack that Georgia has. Georgia is going to run that football pretty well. And they're going to, by doing that, they're going to keep Ole Miss's offense off the field. They're going to control that clock. Now, Georgia's got to get a quick start. They can't afford to keep falling behind like they've been doing. Auburn was the same situation. Almost got too far behind to come back and win that football game, but they did. So I think Georgia's got to get a fast start, got to drive down and get some points early and not play from behind. And that includes running the football, because running the football keeps Ole Miss's offense off the field. That young quarterback cannot even be part of the equation if he's on the bench while Georgia's offense is driving down the field.
That's a great point. And the other factor that I did just want to bring up, because we look at Kirby Smart's defense, right, against the first half against Jackson Arnold, his mobility put some pressure on the RPO game. Last year with Jalen Milroe in the first half, he abused them on the ground as well. So the mobility of Trinidad Chambliss, too, in the RPO game is something that I think Kirby and that defense have to watch. How important is it for Chambliss on the ground as opposed through the air to potentially win this game? Just get your thoughts about an offensive philosophy from Lane Kiffin in this matchup.
Well, I will have that quarterback prepped. As they throw the football, don't go to second or third receiver too often. Hit your first receiver or take off. Hit your first receiver or overthrow it. Throw it away. Do not sit in that pocket and let yourself get hit, because they're going to pound that quarterback if they can. So they've got to make sure he understands. Take a look and take off. It's not so much that you have quarterback running plays, but the quarterback makes good runs out of pass plays. And I think that's what Trinidad the Chambliss can do if they're going to have a chance to win this game.
We'll see. Coach and I both lean to Georgia in the matchup. It's a 3:30 kick for the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Early kick in Nashville. Vanderbilt is favored, Coach, for the first time against LSU, dating back almost 80 years, 1948, Coach. Vanderbilt opens as a 2.5-point home favorite against the LSU Tigers. LSU with a methodical win over South Carolina to get the win and cover 20-10 in Death Valley last week. They have won 10 straight against the Commodores. The last four, coached by an average margin of victory of 23.2 points per game. Won this game last year in Death Valley only by 7 points. Not going to be easy for Garrett Nussmeier and Brian Kelly in this ballgame.
Now, that what we've got now is one of the most productive offenses in the conference, 43 points a game, against one of the least productive. We're talking LSU offensively, I think 25 points a game. LSU just not being very good offensively, and Vanderbilt's going to be hard to get off that field. The saving grace for LSU is they have played very good defense. Defensively, they're one of the strong points, giving up 11.8 points a game. That's why they are in ball games and winning ball games. So this is going to be a tough one. I'm going to tell you right now, I've got LSU winning the football game, because I just feel like when it boils down to it, I always look who's got the most talent on the field. I love the system. I love the quarterback at Vandy, but I do think LSU knows what's at stake. They know what they've got to do, and they've had a lot of good looks on video of this quarterback and his offense at Vanderbilt.
I agree with you. I think LSU does pull it out. A key matchup to keep an eye out on. Their starting wide receiver, Aaron Anderson, should be available for this game. He's been out for a couple of weeks. Tre'Dez Green, the tight end, stepped up with a huge performance last week against South Carolina. They contained, for the most part, Lenora Sellers. They pressured him early and often. That could be the matchup, Coach, playing out against Diego Pavia. This was a game last year that LSU was favored by 9.5, 10 points. They did have a double-digit lead before Vanderbilt closed the door with a late second-half touchdown to get the cover in Death Valley. When Coach and I return, breaking news as it relates to Kirk Cignetti and Indiana. What does that mean for the coaches potentially in the SEC? Also, third Saturday in October can only mean one thing. Alabama, Tennessee coming up next. Back on the Bowden Blitz, week 8 on the horizon within the SEC. Biggest game on the board left, Alabama and Tennessee. Alabama dominated this series from 2007 with Nick Saban straight through 2021. They had won 14 straight games against the Volunteers, but the Volunteers have won 2 of the last 3 games in Knoxville, Coach. They now open as an 8.5-point road dog in Tuscaloosa. Alabama has only lost one game dating back to 2020 in Bryant-Denny. This is a very close matchup. I'll take the points with Tennessee in this ballgame.
Uh-huh. You're on the same channel as me. I'm taking those points. I mean, I think Alabama's going to win. They've got a great – they're doing well. They're upward trending. But I see Tennessee scoring points as well. Two good quarterbacks. without a doubt. But Tennessee's going to be able to score with them. Everything that I've seen and what they've scored in the past, they've lost one football game in overtime to Georgia, and it was a high-scoring affair. Now, I see this one as being over, too. I think it's going to be both teams in the 30s, and that's enough to get to the over. But I do not like like Alabama's going to win, but I think Georgia, I'm going to take Tennessee and the points for sure.
Now, Tennessee hasn't beaten Alabama since 2005 in Tuscaloosa. What right. can Josh Heupel, in order to get this win, it's going to take a monumental effort. Are you talking about the losing streak in Tuscaloosa, or are you not bringing up in any capacity?
No, I don't even think you bring that up. Every year to a coach, we don't talk about what happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago. We're not very often not even going to talk about what happened the year before. And in this day of portal transfer and NILs, I think you've got to ignore that type of conversation, the revenge factor. Too many players weren't part of that. Go in there. You know, when you're going to upset somebody on their place, don't turn the ball over and try to get one more explosive play than the other. That's 7 points. And so that's got to be the key. Let's don't turn the ball over. Let's don't make mistakes and give them an extra at bat, because Alabama's quarterback pretty dang good. And their football team is upward trending. Both teams are on winning streaks. I want to say Alabama's got a 5-game winning streak and Tennessee's got a 3-game winning streak, but they're both on upward trends. And I would just make sure, if I'm Tennessee, let's don't turn the ball over. Let's don't give them any cheap scores. Let's make sure if somebody's got to have a touchdown at the end of the game, maybe that'll be us.
It's a 7:30 kick, October 25th, 2003. 51, Coach, to 43 in OT. That was the last time that Tennessee got the victory over the Crimson Tide. Coach and I both like the Volunteers with the points. All right, we mentioned breaking news. I know it's Big Ten head coaches. Kirk Cignetti, though, signs a huge deal, Coach. 8-year extension worth $93 million, $11.6 million per year. That he's staying in Bloomington. What does this mean now for the landscape of the SEC? There's potential multiple jobs opening. We already know about Arkansas, other coaches on the hot seat. Thoughts about Kirk Cignetti re-signing with the Hoosiers?
Well, that would have been my first choice for Penn State to go after, because I know he has some ties to Pennsylvania, to that area. He was the head coach at IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. His father's at the same place. And so there's a lot of people he knew and grew up with that were Penn State graduates that he grew up with. But you know what? He has shown he can be successful at Indiana, and he feels – and then they didn't want to lose him. They said, we're going to cost us a lot more to replace him. We might as well go ahead and do it. He's already shown us he can win. Now, what he's got to know is, and what we all don't know, Indiana, I mean, it's been a basketball school. Can he sustain this? If Bobby Knight was there, would they have the same love of football? There's a lot of questions. Remember Kentucky, they had like 2 10-win seasons, and they gave Stoops all this money. Kentucky is still Kentucky, a basketball school. But anyway, Kurt has the ability to make them a winner. They've made him secure the rest of his life. Now it's just how much he wants to win each and every year. And I'll say this, nobody reminds me of Steve Spurrier more than Kurt Cignetti. That cocky confidence and that total control, almost when you interview him, he almost mocks you if you ask a dumb question. No, I like it because I think he can back it up with how he runs a program. Unbelievable ability to recognize talent and to recruit talented people that maybe other people don't see, like Mendoza, and turn them into winners. I mean, they're a great passing team. They're a great running team. They're a great defense. They're great at sacking quarterbacks. They paid every dime they paid is worth it to keep Kirk Cignetti at Indiana.
Yeah, great job, and I think it's important to recognize Lane Kiffin now and Drinkwitz mm-hmm. could be coaches that maybe are going to be lured by other programs, you know, obviously moving forward should they get big wins the rest of the way. These are names to keep an eye out on throughout the SEC. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. Enjoy the weekend, everyone. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next week on the Bowden Blitz.